What it says I will have? Pastor Andre.
Preach this word.
Amen. I shortcut it, and you'll see why later on in the message. Just going to review our somewhat Christmas message, which was the prepositional God. And we talk about there's power in the prepositions. And these are the prepositions we were with. Number one was God with us, where we talked about Emmanuel, and then God in us, then God on us, and we ended with God for us. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? But there was another preposition that I begin to think of that was not in that sermon that I begin to kind of work with in my head, and I thought I'm going to use that for today's sermon, and that is God through us. Now, this is not the title of the sermon. This is just another preposition, God through us. And so if God is with us, in us, on us, and for us, our only other step is to make sure God is flowing through us to the people around us. And as we come to the close of a year and we are preparing to transition into another year, the question I want to know is God working through you? And one thing I do know is if, let me give you an example of a hose in summertime. If I turn the hose on and I walk with the hose and no water is coming out, there's a knot somewhere, there's a blockage somewhere. Problem is not with the source. The problem was with whatever is containing the water. If God isn't flowing through you in this next year and starting this Sunday, the problem is not with God. Problem's not your pastor. Problem's not your church. The problem's not T.D. Jakes because he's stealing folks' money. All this stuff you try to make up. The problem is you. And I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about the people in TV land. Because y'all saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. But even with all that, sometimes there's blockages. And we have to make sure God is flowing through us. And one of the reasons why we can't fill churches is because people see what comes out of us and they don't want the God that we serve. So we have to clean the hose. Somebody say clean the hose. All right, so I'm going to move on because I don't have as much time as normal. So I'm going to give you the title. The title is Good Grief. Good Grief. Sometimes you look at your situation and that's all you can say is good grief. But I don't want to just talk about it in the jovial sense of just good grief or something's going wrong. I also want to focus on grief. Grief is tough. Grief is strong. And I heard Mother talking about it when you lose more than one person and how tough it is. But it's not just loss as far as death and loss of loved ones, but sometimes when the year doesn't go the way you expected it to go, it brings grief. And sometimes when money is funny and change is strange, brings grief. And when the marriage isn't clicking right, it brings grief. And the kids aren't acting right, it brings grief. And the folk you go to church with, they act good with you in church, but when they leave church, they don't want to talk to you. There's a lot of things in life that brings grief. But how can grief be good? And it's based on what's flowing through you. So what I want to do, I want to take us to a place where there was a man named Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was somebody who kept it real. And sometimes in order to diagnose where you are and to see the grief and turn the grief into good, you have to be honest with where you presently are and deal with where you are. Ain't no need, I know that's kind of ghetto, but let me just say it that way. Ain't no need in you having a rhyming theme for 2019 if you're not going to start changing right now. The year has no power over you. The year is not going to be better just because the clock strikes 12. You got to do something in order to change this grief. If you're going to go from where you are to where you want to be, that's some stuff you're going to have to do. And I'm going to give you some tools to help you. But first, let's diagnose where we is right now. Jeremiah 8:18, read that.
Jeremiah grieves for his people.
That's the heading. It's Jeremiah grieves for his people. It's not in the original text, but that's the heading. Now read.
My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick within me.
It's interesting. Jeremiah is the prophet. He's the man of God. And he's saying that he's grieving over his people. Many people want to know what makes you mad or what disappoints you. And they think maybe it's marriage things, maybe it's kids stuff. My family is one of the most relaxing places in my life. I'm really got to a place where I'm domesticated. I can be in the house with my kids or with my parents and my siblings. I'm cool. Stress is all around me, but I'm cool with all that as long as I have family. And let me let you know, as long as you got people that love you, you can make it through anything. But when it comes to my personal grief, nothing grieves me more than seeing a saint live beneath their privilege. When you're looking at something and someone that has potential, especially great potential, and they live so far beneath their potential, that grieves me. Because I'm a man of God and I'm supposed to be watching over people's souls. And I'm not just talking about church people. I mean even my community. African Americans, when people are just killing each other for no reason, it grieves me. And Jeremiah was in a situation, he said, my joy is gone. And grief is upon me, my heart is sick within me. Let's go to the next verse.
Behold, the cry of the daughter of my people from the length and breadth of the land.
Now, this is what you don't understand unless you move somewhat in prophetic ministry, prophetic movements. But the land, the earth, and souls and spirits, they cry. There are people that you can look at and see them smiling, but you can hear them crying. Let me give you an example. Abel and Cain. Cain killed Abel, and God came to Cain and said, where's your brother? And he's like, am I my brother's keeper? And God said, his blood cries out to me. When people die in the streets, their blood cries out. When somebody who is in the position of authority and they're a cop and they kill somebody else without due process, there's something that happens in my spirit and in my soul. I don't care if they were selling dope. I don't care if they were smoking heroin. Just because they died unjustly, something happens to me because I'm in a prophetic ministry and things hurt me. When I used to watch movies back with my wife, I could watch blood and guts and gore and never bother me. When I became a pastor, I can't watch stuff anymore because it's too real to me. Because at the end of the day, I'm doing the best I can and I'm trying to make it to heaven for myself. And I don't know what all the afterlife is about. But the fact that somebody could end up in hell on my watch does something to me. That's what wakes me up at night. It's, am I doing everything I can do to lead the people in the best way I can lead them? I don't want anybody to be lost on my watch. I don't want anybody to die because I'm playing games. When I get up here, I'm as serious can be. When I leave here, I'm as serious can be. I'm not trying to shuck and jive and play games. This is too serious. People's blood is crying out. There are women in abusive relationships and don't know how to get out of it. And they're wearing dark shades in the wintertime and trying to do whatever they can. And there are people that can't get past molestation. There are folk that wake up every day and they're trying to fight not to slit their wrists. And all of that going on in the world stirs me up. But it also breaks my heart. Because many times the people who need to be here are the people who run away the most. And so this is what Jeremiah was going through. Read some more.
Is the Lord not in Zion?
This is the question that Jeremiah asked. Is the Lord not here? I can understand it if we didn't have a supernatural being on our side. But we have a King of kings and a Lord of lords. So the question is, why do we go through so much with the King of kings on our side? Why are we so broke with the King of kings on our side?
Hallelujah.
Why are we so dysfunctional? Yeah. with the King of Kings on our side. Oftentimes when I'm counseling people, I have people who are unsaved coming to me asking me stuff and people who are saved coming and asking me stuff. And oftentimes the people who are unsaved are in better shape than the folk that are saved. I'm wondering, how do we get so dysfunctional as a body of believers? Is God not here? So that means that there's got to be some adjustments. Read some more.
Is her king not in her?
Isn't there a king inside?
Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images and with their foreign idols?
Now, Jeremiah is crying out prophetically and saying, isn't there a king? Isn't there a God? But God was responding prophetically. But why have they provoked me with their images and their idols? In other words, what God is saying, why do they keep putting so much stuff ahead of me? It's not that I'm not here. It's not that God is not faithful. It's not that God is not on your side. He got to get through a whole bunch of stuff just to work for you. He got to get through Netflix and Hulu and the mall and Ball State and student loans and this bill and my husband not acting right and my kids is going crazy. But he's all the way at the end trying to get. It's not that God isn't here. It's just he's clouded like the holes. There's a whole bunch of knots in the holes. And as we move into a new year, it's time to get unbound from some of this stuff. Because we have a king. And it's time for the world to see the king that we have. But we got to make up in our mind, there's too many things take precedent over God. And that has to change. And I'm not saying for anybody else but myself. I'm starting with me first. But God has got to be priority in your life. Priority means that before you wake up, or when you immediately wake up, he's the first person you talk to, not Facebook, God. When you go to bed, he's the last person you talk to. There has to be a constant, continual conversation with God so that he can show himself in your life. Now, I'm preaching to the choir because you're here, but there's more you can do. There's another level of dedication you can go to. There's another level of commitment you can go to. There's another level of closeness to God you can go to. As long as you're living, there's more that you can do. Now, it is true that God's gift of salvation and righteousness is free. You don't work for it, but make your calling and election sure. Some of the sins you've been in for the last 10 years, time for them not to carry on in 2019. It's some stuff that's got to go so you can receive what God wants you to receive. It's some stuff you've got to let go. All right, let's go to the next verse.
The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved.
Jeremiah said the harvest is past, summer is ended, and we still in the same old situation. Last Sunday of the year, and I still haven't kicked this habit. Last Sunday of the year, and I'm still not delivered. I'm still not saved. I'm not any better than what I was when I started the year. Yes, I started the year off in church. I'm ending the year in church, but I'm still the same old joker I've always been. And that's sometimes the characterization of many Christians, is we just go through the motions. This is the way we go to church, go to work. This is the way I do this and do that, but nothing ever changes. But I know y'all was just shouting a few minutes ago, and here I am bringing y'all all the way back down. But it's okay. But this is what Jabez said. Jabez said, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. And what God showed me is that for this coming up new year, before he enlarges your outward territory, he want to enlarge your inward territory. I want to do some surgery on the inside. I want to work on you on the inside. I need some room to operate. Some bitterness, you got to let it go. Some unforgiveness, you got to let it go. So-and-so don't like me. Stop thinking that everybody don't like you. That low self-esteem, you got to let it go so he can work.
So you won't have this testimony at the end of 2019. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And I'm still the same person. Let's go to the next verse.
For the wound of the daughter of my people is my heart wounded. I mourn and dismay has taken hold
Jeremiah
on me.
Jeremiah said, it hurts me to see the state of the people. And I'm saying, I'm not just talking about us. I mean, just the state of the church is as a whole. It's just so much going on in the church. So much. And I'm like, are we even getting close to God? I want to make sure that we're moving the way we're supposed to be moving. All right. Last verse of this part, 8:22.
Is there no balm in Gilead?
This is what Jeremiah said. And wait a second. Is there no balm in Gilead? The balm in Gilead was the healing agent that was able to heal. And Christ, or the messianic one in that time, was known as the balm in Gilead. He said, there's no reason for us to be like we are, because there is a balm in Gilead. In other words, when we say that God is in us, we've got answers and solutions to our problems. There's no reason for us to keep going through the same cycle year after year. Something's got to change. Is there no balm in Gilead? Isn't there a healer? Isn't there a God? Isn't there a Jehovah? Isn't there a Savior? And what we've got to do, we've got to make up in our mind that nothing on the outside is going to stir me up more than what I have on the inside. I'm going to have to take some vacations, not out there, but some vacations in here. And I'm going to have to start doing some inventory in here. I'm going to have to close myself from the outside world and do some stuff in here, because I know there's some healing in here. I got to get to it. Some stuff the pills are not going to do. The doctors are not going to do. The oil at the altar is not going to do. Some stuff you're going to have to go inside and do some work on yourself. Now, here's the thing. If we were honest, the reason why it's hard to work on ourselves, because we're not always that honest. We want to point at everybody else. But when you get real honest, 98% of your trouble, you. Yeah, maybe 2% your wife. Maybe 2% Republicans and Democrats. Maybe 2% it's the pastor. But most of that junk, come on somebody, it's you. So before we worry about a new year, I need a new me first. Got to do some work. I got to read some books. I got to talk to some people. Do you realize Mother Rankin has been some places that you haven't even got to yet? You need to go and visit somebody older and talk to them. Do you know Apostle got stories for days, he can tell you, that can change your life? You need to get around people that can push you to another level. You got to find a mentor. Find somebody that'll pour into you. Stop hanging around buzzards and trying to fly like an eagle. Change your thinking. Change your perspective. Change your mind. Change your life. My God. I see Sister Sharitha standing up and encouraging me to preach. And she's been working on her own health journey. And everything is not spiritual. Some of it is natural. Some of it is stop eating what you're eating. Stop listening to what you're listening to. Some of it is as simple as stop talking on the phone to the same old negative, messed up people. Some of it is simple. Stop being the one with the news all the time to run and tell the news. How about you learn to just shut up? Work on yourself. All right, so with all this seeming depression, why do I stay so happy and so excited? Somebody say, because you got a new Cadillac outside. I do, but that's not why I'm happy and why I'm excited. Because not only do I have a solution on the inside, I'm operating in a church that we have a solution. Every time you walk in the building, there is a solution for your stuff without you even knowing it. Even if we don't have service and nobody is preaching, you can walk in the building and there's solutions all around you. I'll explain to you. Let's read this next verse.
Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law happy is he.
Proverbs 28:29-18 says that. Let's read this in the English Standard Version.
Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law.
Reason why we can be excited is because this church has a prophetic vision. We know where we're going. If you're following somebody that doesn't know where they're going, the blind cannot lead the blind. But God has given a prophetic vision over the house of this church. And it's so simple that sometimes you forgot it. It's so simple, I say it every Sunday, but I'm on the last Sunday of the year, I want to work it and show you that all your solutions is sitting right in this church. Put up point number one. Number one solution to your trouble, connect with our Creator continuously. When you walk in this building, you can look and see connected. And the first thing you need to understand, if I'm losing power or I don't have power, I got disconnected somewhere, some way. So what you got to do? You got to reconnect. And how often do we need to connect? Continuously. And who are we connecting to? Our Creator. Now let me use the Cadillac again. Now it's new, so some stuff I don't know about it. And so what I did when I wanted to learn stuff, I went on a car lot. I went on a Chrysler car lot, and I broke into the Chrysler glove box and pulled out the manual for the Chrysler to learn about my Cadillac. Is that what I did?
No.
Because whoever manufactured the Cadillac know more about it than anybody else. Why are you going everywhere but the Creator? Connect with your Creator continuously. Get connected to God. He knows. The day you found the problem was the day he found out about it. He's God all by himself. He's the one that tells the ocean when to stop. He's the one that knows how the earth and the sun and the moon work. He understands galaxies. There's billions of galaxies. He can help you with your $50 bill. Why are you running to everything else? I don't want to say this, but let me say this. Well, maybe if I sleep with somebody, they'll give me $40. The devil is a lie. Why don't you talk to God? We got so many ways, and at the end of it, we think, oh, let me try God. After you done got yourself in a whole bunch of trouble, then you want to try God. Try God first. And if you're connecting with him continuously, some of the stuff you wouldn't be in the beginning. It's tight, but it's right. Hebrews 11:6. Let's give you a verse for that.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
We all want rewards, but your rewards is based on your diligently seeking it. Put the effort, put the time in, connect with him continuously. But here's the thing. Once you really, really connect with him, you'll find that it's one of the sweetest places in the world. To be in that secret place with God. Once you really connect with him, you almost want people to stay out of your face so you can get back with him. Sometimes God got to make you go talk to somebody else because his presence is so sweet. Once you really taste his presence, that's why David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Some of y'all haven't really tasted yet. You don't really know. Some of y'all like my kids. My kids look at something. I don't like that. How do you know you don't like it? It just don't look right. Well, there's some stuff about God that don't look right, but when you taste it. Oh, my God, when you taste it. Now, speaking of the New Year, oftentimes they have black-eyed peas and cornbread. That's like a New Year thing that people eat. I remember Mother Watson tried to give me some black-eyed peas. I said, I don't eat black-eyed peas. She said, boy, you ain't never tasted them. How do you know I ain't never tasted them? But she was right. And she put them on my plate. I don't like beans in general. And it was brown and funny looking. But she just kept looking at me. I'm like, I got to put these in my mouth. But when I tasted them, they tasted good to me. I was about to walk away from something because I hadn't tasted it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. You just haven't tasted him. Well, I like being high. I like being drunk. I like orgasms. You ain't tasted God. When you taste God, I can borrow what Bishop said. I've been on a high that I've never come down from, because once I've tasted him, so I got to connect with him continuously. Let's go to number two. What's number two?
Confess our deliverance consistently.
Come on, say that with us, saints.
Confess our deliverance consistently.
Let's go to Mark 10:41.
And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John.
That was a mistake. I put that in the wrong place. Let's go to the next verse.
Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus.
This is why you confess your deliverance consistently, because God has grabbed you, but you got to grab what grabbed you. And you've got to make up in your mind, I'm going after this thing. Even when I don't have the level of deliverance I want, when I don't have the money I want, when I'm lonely and I'm not married and things are not working, I'm still going after God. I'm confessing my deliverance consistently. I'm broke right now, but I'm saying I'm rich. I'm poor right now, but I say I'm rich. I'm weak right now, but I say I'm strong. Let the weak say I'm strong. I'm going after this thing. In other words, Satan, no matter what you throw at me, I'm confessing I'm the righteousness of God. I am what God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. Every seat is filled. I'm confessing it. I'm going after it. Because the devil gonna test you. But if he gonna test you, you might as well push back. One thing I learned about a bully, he'll keep bullying you as long as he knows you're not going to fight back. You got to make up in your mind, I'm tired of you taking my lunch money. You fat and ugly, but I'm hungry. You can't have my lunch money today. I'm fighting. Somebody need a not today anointing. Not today, Satan, not today. I'm not going to be depressed, not today. I'm not going to be broke, not today. I'm not being in sin, not today. I'm oppressed for this thing. Next verse.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended.
The key to your deliverance is always counting yourself not to have anything. Whatever I get, I can do more. Whatever I've attained, I can do more. I don't count myself to have anything. Well, I read through the Bible this year, so I don't have to read again. The devil is a lie. I'm reading some more. I'm not going to count myself to have apprehended. Read.
But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before.
Read the next verse.
I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
In order to go after your deliverance consistently, there's two things you got to do. You have to be pressing, but letting go. Yes. It looks like a runner. A runner has one thing going one way, but that other arm is back because I'm leaving those steps behind to go forward. There's some stuff that has to be left behind, but as long as you're confessing your deliverance consistently, it's drawing you to the thing that you need. Yeah. Now, let me give you an example. My last car that I just had, I just traded it in. I had it for 8 years. It had 193,000 miles on it, and it was getting to the place where it just gave up the ghost. It had... enough. I gave it everything that I could give. But every Sunday when I preach on my iPad, I had the picture of the car that I desired. Not only the car, the exact interior that I wanted. It was not in my price range, but I kept it in front of me. Because whatever you keep in front of you has a way of drawing you to it. And pulling you. And so every time I press, I'm getting closer to my blessing. Every time you come to church, you're getting closer to your blessing. Every time you give in the offering, you're getting closer to your blessing. And there's going to be resistance. There's going to be trouble. But you got to press. You got to push, because there's something on the other side. And it's your deliverance. It's your victory. It's your dream. It's your goal. Press. Now, here's the thing. It says, I press toward the prize. Ain't that what it says? No. That it says, I press toward the mark for the prize. Here's the thing. The mark is Jesus. And if you hit Jesus, you'll get the prize too. I didn't press for the car, I pressed for Jesus. And if I keep hitting Jesus, I'll get whatever I need to get. If I keep hitting Jesus, I'm not worried about a car. I'll praise God with 193,000 miles. I'll praise God brand new. I'll praise God used. I'll praise God on the bus because I'm pressing toward the mark, and the mark is Jesus. I don't need a new car to give God praise. I don't need money in my hand to give God praise. It's nice to have it, but I don't need it. I'm pressing toward the mark. But if I hit the mark, I might get some prizes too. I might get some benefits too. All right, let's go to 3:15.
Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded.
Wait a second. It tells us not to act like we're perfect. But what it's saying, our perfection is on the other side of our press. Go.
And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you.
If you have any other mind than pressing for the perfection and the maturity that is in God, guess what? God will reveal you. He'll expose it to you. And when he exposes, sometimes you're like, dang, I thought I was better than that. Don't worry. Just keep on pressing. Amen. I haven't cussed in 15 years. And one day you'll go on a 1 week cussing spree. God, I thought that was out of me. Just keep on pressing. Keep on pressing. Don't let it stop you. Keep on pressing because you're pressing toward the mark. The mark will reveal the prize. Let's go to number three. Number three is what?
Commit to serve creatively.
Let's say this, everybody. Commit to serve creatively. Let's look at Mark 10:41 now.
And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John.
I got to give you just a little background. James and John were a part of the disciples, and James and John's mother had secretly came to Jesus trying to jockey for position and said, when you go into your kingdom, can my son sit on the right side of you and on the left side of you? She was trying to make sure her sons were okay. And when the rest of them found out, they was upset. You will get upset with people in church. Let's go to the next 10:42.
But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them.
If you are connecting with your creator continuously, and you're pressing for your deliverance, and you confessing that, and you're achieving deliverance, then sometimes you could get the big head. But what Jesus said is, that's what the worldly folk do, but us, what we do, the higher we go, the lower we should become. He said the Gentiles, they get haughty when they get in authority. Have you ever worked with somebody that worked next to you and then they got promoted to a foreman or promoted to a supervisor and they act totally different? They used to be the laziest joker in the bunch, but now they're different because it's a spirit. And that's why sometimes God doesn't want to promote you, because he knows you don't have the right attitude right now. Let's go some more. Let's read. 43.
But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister.
Verse 44.
And whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all.
So here's the thing. After we are connecting with God and after we're confessing deliverance, we have to commit ourselves to serving. Because whoever wants to go high must make up in their mind they're going to serve. And so this is what it means. It means not just serving in the capacity of Deliverance Temple. It means outside of here being on boards that help the community. It's doing all the things that need to be done. But you have to commit yourself to serve. Some people are only takers and receivers. As long as people are serving them, they are happy. But if you're ever going to go anywhere in God, if you're ever going to grow, if you're ever going to achieve, even with your greatest blessing, you got to learn how to serve. Now, some months ago, I had somebody remind me of something. They told me, I remember one of the first new cars I had was a Jeep Grand Cherokee. They said, do you remember that the first time that that vehicle went out of town, it was you guys gave it to me so that I can do such and so. I'm like, I did do that. I forgot all about that. I forgot it, but they never forgot it, because they knew I had a new car and I didn't need to go out of town. They needed to go out of town, and my new car was given to them so they could do what they were supposed to do. I learned that from my father, just being a giver, but it affected their lives, and they love me to this day because I served. You got to make up in your mind you're going to serve. Stop being selfish in this new year. Learn how to serve somebody. Everything is not about you. Some of y'all will mess up a whole restaurant experience for everybody else because you complain about everything. The lights is too bright and I don't like the candles. Shut up. Are you even paying for the meal? Sometimes just chill. Learn how to serve. Learn how to give. Let's go to the next 10:45.
For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
You do not have the excuse that you're too good to serve, because the greatest human to ever walk the face of the earth, he came and he laid down his life for the ransom of many, knowing that many of them would reject him, and he still served anyhow. Now, when it comes to this church, let me say it's time to serve. Stop telling me, well, Pastor, you didn't let me do and you didn't let me do. I'm watching you and you walk by the paper on the floor. Why should I let you preach and you can't pick up the paper on the floor? No, learn how to serve. Why should I let you do stuff and you haven't given to the church in the last 15 years where they don't never let me do something? Serve where you are. There's some stuff that needs to be dusted. There's light bulbs that need to be changed. There's old people that need to be carried across the street. Learn how to do something. When nobody gave me a position, then you don't need a position to serve. We call it a worship service. Everything is not about you. Learn how to serve. Well, the usher didn't give me no fan and it was hot. Walk your legs to the back, grab you a fan and fan your own nappy head. Everybody ain't got to be about you. Learn how to serve. Number four, and this is where we're closing from.
Communicate Christ's love compassionately.
Let's say it. Communicate Christ's love compassionately. All the things that we're working on, there's no need of you connecting with your creator continuously if you're going to be hateful with everybody around you. So all those things are working. It's working from connecting with the creator and then working on your deliverance, because you can't communicate love to somebody if you've got all this deliverance and junk. Because some of y'all are communicating lust compassionately and we need to get that delivered out of you because you're hugging folk too tight. Now, we want you to love, but you're doing too much. So you got to get the deliverance. Got to learn how to serve. Now you're ready to communicate Christ's love compassionately. Let's close with these verses. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
5:18.
And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Now let's look what the next verse says. It's so powerful.
To wit.
Which means to know.
That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
I started by talking about God through us. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Now, if God was in Christ and he was reconciling the world and Christ is in us, it means that we can reconcile too, which means reconciliation. The accounting term means to pay people's debts. There are some people that have sin debts, but when they work next to you, you reconcile them to God. They want to be a better husband because they work next to you. They want to be a better wife because they encountered you in the grocery store. They want to be better just because they sit next to you at church. Sister Diane says, I want you to hug me, Pastor Andre. I want you to get some of that anointing on me. She don't call it anointing. She says, I want some of that anointing on me. In other words, I want you to touch me because something's going through you that can bless and touch me. God should be in us reconciling the world. Let's go to the next few verses. Verse 20.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ.
We are what?
Ambassadors for Christ.
All right.
As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
We are representatives of Christ in the earth, and there are people that are going to hell and they are troubled and struggled because we're not doing our job. Because we want to come to church and go home. Come to church and go home. No, be a light. be a light out there. Be a light and draw somebody. Reconcile somebody to God. Where they're gay, I don't care. Reconcile them. Show the love of God. Reach out to them. Where they be fornicating, they're in pornography, I don't care. Just reconcile them. Because you don't know all the stuff that's already in this church. You don't know all the stuff we've come out of. I don't care what they look like. Your love and your heart are to draw people. The Bible says that with loving kindness, draw.
All right, last verse for this part of the section.
For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Here's the thing. Why wouldn't you give it out? Because it came to you freely. He became sin. He became your sin. He became Andre's sin so Andre could have Jesus' righteousness. So when I hook up with Devin, I can become the righteousness that Devin needs. And when she says, I can't make it, I can't go to church because I fail, I can say, you can come. You can sit by me. I won't tell everybody what you've done, but I'm praying for you. I got you. There was somebody that told me that they wanted to commit suicide. They don't go to this church. I have invited them to this church, but they don't go to this church. They really don't go to any other church, but I made up in my mind I was going to reach out to them every morning and lead them a scripture, because you don't have to go to my church for me to reconcile you to God. You're not going to die on my watch. If you come across me, I'm running them demons and devils out of you, because I got a God in me and I'm communicating Christ's love compassionately.
And pulling people to himself. Put it up. Good grief. Now let's stand to our feet. And I got two more verses. And we're going to close from here. So good grief, we could turn in all this grief. We're getting returning good in 2019. We're going to start today. We're going to start with our holiday banking. We're going to start at New Year's Eve. But we may have to turn some of that stuff good. And let's go to Psalms 30:11.
Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness.
Why was we dancing in church today and we haven't danced in a while? Because God wanted me to tell you, he's turned your mourning into dancing. Yes, the summer had ended and the harvest is gone and you still wasn't saved and you still wasn't delivered and you still was jacked up. But I'm here to let you know he's turning some of your mourning into dancing. What you cried over this year, you won't cry over next year. What you fell for this year, you won't fall for next year. He's turned your mourning into dancing. Last verse, verse 12.
To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever.
Forever. We're moving in a season of extreme thanksgiving, because everything we desire, we're pulling it into our atmosphere. And if it doesn't come in 2019, we're pulling it for 2020, 2021. We're not giving up. We're not quitting. God, if you can protect Jasani from being electrocuted, I got no reason to stick my head in the ground. I'm pushing. God, if you can keep our elect lady and our bishop alive, I'm going to keep pushing. I got nothing to cry about. I got praise in my spirit. And we have a vision over this church, and we're moving every year. We're moving closer and closer. And God is doing it. Let's bow our heads. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I speak prophetically over every person under the sound of my voice. That God, everything that you have for them, they are like magnets. They begin to pull it into their realm and their atmosphere. Forgive us all of everything that has hindered up and put knots in the holes and have blocked up you flowing through us. But this is the time and the season for you to flow through us like never before. But God, some of us need more money and some of us need more health and some of us need a mate and some of us need all kinds of stuff. God, we bring it into our atmosphere. Saints, start pulling stuff down. We pull it into our atmosphere. We pull it into our realm. We declare it'll be so in Jesus' name. We pull it, we pull it, we pull it, we pull it. Now let's praise God.